1598 AM Denmark, W250 CD Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News and Lionel Moyes. A candlelight vigil last night in Nashville to remember the victims in the school shooting.
Come to me now.
Sheryl Crow remembering the three children and three adults murdered in the church school. Nashville's police chief John Drake thanking his officers
who rushed into that school building without hesitation.
Another local church pastor consoling the city.
That although we don't understand why these things happen, we can get through this together.
Andy Field, ABC News. A mobile field hospital has been deployed to hard-hit Rolling Fork, Mississippi after deadly storms and tornadoes devastated the area. The University of Mississippi Medical Center is working with state agencies. Two military Black Hawk helicopters crashed in a training incident in Trigg County, Kentucky. An outpouring of support this morning as Pope Francis remains hospitalized in Rome. This is ABC News. Bill Safety DeMar Hamlin spoke in Washington at an event with lawmakers promoting the Access to AEDs Act. The bipartisan bill would give grants to elementary and secondary schools to purchase automated external defibrillators and for AED and CPR training to students and staff. Hamlin had to be resuscitated after suffering cardiac arrest on the field. Lamborghini, the latest automaker to go hybrid. ABC's Mike DeBusky.
Until now, there have only been five mass-production 12-cylinder flagship Lamborghinis in the company's 60-year history. The just-unveiled Revuelto marks the sixth and is a plug-in hybrid. Three electric motors are good for about 10 miles of electric-only range. Combine that with the car's V12, and the two-seater is good for 1,001 horsepower. Revuelto is the first entry in the company's plans to hybridize its entire lineup by the end of next year. It comes as Ferrari, Aston Martin, and others add electrification to their lineups.
Lionel Moyes, ABC News.
The spring election is Tuesday, April 4th. It's being called one of the most important in the country, with candidates for one state Supreme Court seat on the ballot.
Vote, then tune to your local Civic Media radio station for coverage you won't find anywhere else.
It kicks off at 7 p.m. with a special Ask Us Wisconsin.
And at 8, News Director Terry Bell has results with reporters checking in from around the state.
Election coverage live Tuesday, April 4th, starting at 7 on your local Civic Media radio station, streaming on the Civic Media app.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life. VA Life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no matter the questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you are age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA Life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA Life Insurance.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP Media Council.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you can share with your kids.
Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake?
No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more life than stats, and there's more life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with a Great Digger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram.
Saturday to Sunday at 1 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Hey everybody, how are we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse of peace, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripes Cast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than the six-pack of Jolly Good. okay? The pride of Brandon Lake that y'all did this. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I said hi. Okay, real good.
Direct from the Dairy State, it's Shark Cheddar Weekends, a 3-hour block of Wisconsin-produced radio, Saturdays and Sundays from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m., featuring Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman, The Crunch Cast with Charlie Behrens, and Under the Helmet with Greg Digger, Gilbert Brown. You can enjoy it by the slice or enjoy the whole darn thing. Sharp Cheddar Weekends is radio so fresh, it squeaks. Listen in on the Civic Media station or on the app. You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Great Digger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown.
Monday mornings at 8 on WISS and WGBW, and on the Civic Media app.
You know, I was told that when I had a kid, by everyone where I live, I was told this. When you have a kid, man, you'll get more conservative. I promise you that. Well, on day 9 of being a father, I wake up to the news that just up the road in Nashville, there was a school shooting. So, no, if anything, I'm more far left today than I've ever been.
Take it off to y'all. This is it.
Doing Wisconsin forward one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bryan with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which of these values are the most important to you? Patriotism, religion, having children, community involvement, or money? Which of those is the most important to you? For me, I would have to say community involvement. If those are my 5 choices, followed after by having children. But we would love to hear from you. Which of those values are the most important to you? Patriotism, religion, having children, community involvement, or money? 844-967-2789. Starting off hot, Greg Bach. Which one of those is the most important to you?
Money.
Really?
Yeah.
Of those 5, money is the most important.
Yeah. Because I don't want to be rich. I just want to be able to pay my bills.
See, and that's a very different definition, I would say, of valuing money, mm-hmm. in that I value just being able to get by versus the pursuit of.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I just pursued to pay my college loans.
You're almost done with.
It's true.
And did you have an error? What would you say your top value is of those 5?
Well, I don't have children. I'm not religious. I guess community involvement and money.
Community involvement and money.
All right. If we can pick two, I'm going to definitely say community involvement. I don't want to look like a monster here.
So I ask this because according to a new poll, Wall Street Journal NORC poll, I don't know if it's an NORC or it is NORC.
NORC.
Came out this week, and it says America pulls back from values that it once defined it. And basically, 4 of those 5 values I just listed off have seen a rapid decline in the average American's ranking of their importance. And so the drop in patriotism from 1998 was 60% of Americans said that value was important to them. It dropped to 26%.
Wow.
I think I'm reading that right, yeah. Religion went from about 60 to just below 40. Having children went from 60 to below 30. Community involvement had a peak. It actually went up from 1998 to 2019. It went up. And then in 2019, it was above 60, and now it's basically 20.
Oh, that's gee, I wonder what happened over those years.
And of those five, the only one that has gone up is money. But not a lot.
I don't want to pick up a baby.
You just want to get the crowd?
No.
And so I'm asking all of you, both of you here, Mr. Greg Buck and Jay Manair, but also people at home, of those values, which is the most important to you? And I guess a follow-up question is, has it shifted for you over time?
And the five are
patriotism, religion, having children, community involvement, and money.
Okay.
844-967-2789. Like, if I had to rank those, I would say community involvement, having children, money, patriotism, religion. Although patriotism and money, I would say, are matched.
Yeah.
For me.
Really?
For me, religion, I mean, I'm not very religious.
Yeah.
But I also see, for me, what patriotism means is also tied to community involvement.
And see, that's how I see the money thing. It's not money, the pursuit of being Elon Musk. It's just, what is money to you? It's, for me, paying my bills. Patriotism has... I think patriotism might be dead last.
Joseph McClear says you're an ultra-capitalist.
What does that mean?
on the Facebook live stream.
I'm an ultra-Joe. I'm an ultra-class. Oh, Joe McClear. I see you, Joseph McClear, which is Irish for the clear.
But, because I wonder, the way you're defining money, I think, is interesting as far as it's important to you to be able to pay your bills. Because I think this is, when I say values, like, do you think of money as a value in the way that you're defining it?
For me, yes. I guess I just see it as very, these are my values, this is what, and I don't, yeah, I see it as mine. Like, this for me, I don't know how people see money otherwise. Like, they might see it as, I need to build a rocket ship to go to Mars. Some people might be like, I need to pay for my kids' food. So their values might be money, they work four jobs, and that's how I see it. Just like, for me, patriotism is probably the bottom, because I see patriotism as a commodity, as a commercialized thing. It's Zuba pants to me. It's not, I no longer feel like the, I feel patriotism. It's like, oh, great, he's got four American flags on his property. He loves America, you know what I mean?
And I think that's also because they touched on that in the article. And we talked about this, I feel like, was last July-ish when we talked about how people's attitudes around patriotism has changed because it's become so intertwined with mega, like, nationalist, like, right-wing ideology versus, like, my mom has said, she's like, I, for the first time ever, thought twice about putting my flag up. We always put the flag up.
We talked about that article, and I said, ultimately, I'm not going to put an American flag up on my property because it's hard for me to look at that flag and see the same thing other people do. And I don't think they see what they think they see. It is a magnified 9/11 version of America when they hang that flag and salute with a big puffy chest saying, we are the best. It's very, I don't know, it's... That's why, for me, patriotism is at the bottom of it all.
Well, and I think, Kristen, you make a good point about one political party has claimed they are the only patriots. And unless you align with their beliefs, then you are not a patriot. And I think that's why a lot of Americans are ranking it lower. And I also think we're the richest country in the world, and people are still going bankrupt when they get sick.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think a lot of people, I love this country. We have issues. We have major issues that we just choose not to resolve. It's like the immigration issue. It's like the Dreamers. So while I love our country, I don't know that it's the best in the world anymore.
No. Yeah, agree. I know, I completely agree with you.
But I don't think you have to, is that, so we're talking about a new poll that was published in Wall Street Journal this week that I saw trending on Twitter, and I thought it was super interesting as far as the nosedive that patriotism, religion, having children, and community involvement has had amongst people who still deem those as important values to have. The only one that it has kind of gone up, and it hasn't gone up enough to compensate for the decline of those four, is money. And so I guess one of my questions is, what has replaced those values? What do people actually find important now? Because even if money's gone up, it's not enough to say, well, everyone just shifted their focus from what they find important to be money now. So what do people actually care about if it's not those four things? And but to piggyback off of the patriotism thing, like, I find what I do with, like, the videos and voting and all of that stuff, and, like, the constant idea that things can be better is patriotic.
Don't disagree with you at all. And that's the thing, is that's how for me, the same thing with the money thing, I define it, like, when I say the value of money, I have my definitions for me personally. You have your definitions for patriotism. I would say the same thing goes for Jane, which she just said about loving America, but let's talk about the problems. Mm-hmm. That's patriotism to me. Patriotism for me is reading books on this country and the systemic problems therein, and knowing about why we aren't the greatest country on earth. So I think it's all how you see that one thing. So,
and I think, too, Greg, to go off of that, I think there are those who believe that being a patriot means never criticizing your own country.
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
If you don't like it, leave.
To which I would call them a neophyte or a sycophant. I would call them wrong.
But I guess, back to the audience, does this surprise you? Do the results of this poll surprise you as far as the shift down of people finding all or any of the values of patriotism, religion, having children or community involvement going down? And I guess we can talk more about why we think that is, but I think it's just super interesting. So 844-967-2789, that is 844-96.
Party.
And I don't know. I think, I mean, is it, this is another thing we're going to blame social media on as far as why, like the why? Because I do think that there is a shift in, like, I think about the amount my parents volunteered.
Mm-hmm.
And where my dad, like, they sat on boards, they did stuff at the Boys and Girls Club. My mom was very involved in all things doing with the school. And, like, I remember once I became an adult and was working a full-time job and did not have children, and somehow did not find the time to be that involved in my community as much as they were. I was like, how do you guys do this? How do you find the time to work,
have two kids,
basically have a bunch of other kids always in our house, because my dad was a basketball coach, so there were a lot of kids always just there that my mom was feeding, and have the time to volunteer for other things and give back? And I would say, I don't know, I think every once in a while there's some event that we go to that we try to volunteer for, but as far as, like, the consistency of being on a board, being part of that, like being part of your church or your community, something like that, I would say that is, I know that it's gone down, and I don't know if it's just because we feel so busy and work has gotten so intense, but that is something that I feel like it has shifted in a generation. But we have to go to break. We're going to keep this conversation going, and then at 11:30, wish he was here on better terms, but comedian Corey Forster is going to be here to talk about his viral video about becoming a dad and not becoming more conservative after becoming a dad. So stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
This spring election is Tuesday, April 4th. It's being called one of the most important in the country, with candidates for one state Supreme Court seat on the ballot.
Vote, then tune to your local civic media radio station for coverage you won't find anywhere else.
It kicks off at 7 p.m. with a special As Goes Wisconsin.
Then at 8, News Director Terry Bell has results with reporters checking in from around the state.
Election coverage live Tuesday, April 4th, starting at 7 on your local civic media radio station, streaming on the Civic Media app.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life. VA life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you are age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA life insurance.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and Media Council.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you can share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake?
No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development?
You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
He is Greg Bach, and we are wondering, what do you actually value these days? Because apparently, and according to a new Wall Street Journal poll, don't find patriotism, religion, having children, or community involvement all that important. It has taken a nosedive over the years in American ideology. And I'm wondering, what has replaced it?
Well, there's something I want to say about the whole thing itself, the whole polling. I think that religion and having children, I think, you know, you look at it from 1998, I feel like people are more confident and feeling better about themselves saying, religion isn't a part of my life. It's not something that gets you looks or gets you any sort of criticism. Like, you know, people are like, you don't believe in God. What's wrong with you?
I feel like it depends on where you live.
I think it does depend on where you live, but nowadays in polling, you can easily say, I don't want children, and you don't have to worry about it as much as you did 25 years ago, I think. So I think that the natural progression of religion and having children going down, it has to do with people being more okay with saying it out loud.
Totally, but I also, what has replaced it? So 844-967-2789, when you think about words like values,
Yeah. What
do you value? Like, what is important to you as far as, like, because one of the other ones in the poll was hard work. And so, like, I feel like I still very much value hard work, both mine and recognizing it in other people.
Right.
And I don't think that should define your, like, moral character, but, like, I do think it's admirable to work hard. And so, like, I think that's the thing that I find missing in this poll, and would love to hear where people verbalize is, like, what do you find important in your life? Because I don't think, so I would never peg you as someone who's, like, so money is the most important thing to you?
No, but out of the five,
take away the five. As far as the values go,
my wife, she's
that's
the most.
Not, that's not a value.
Well, let me put it this way. As a husband, we are in a traditional family. There's only the two of us. But what we have, our house, our life, what we're trying to build together over the years, that is the most important thing to me, and that is directly tied to her.
Isn't that just another way, Greg, of calling it? I value being a responsible citizen.
Yeah, but you asked me and I answered. Yeah, so for me, it's family. And also then the other family of mine that connects to that. But the most important value is family. I love the Fast and Furious. I take it to heart. Family is the most important, my friends. And honestly, all these five, community involvement is the only one that's surprising. All the other four are like, this is hack to me.
To you.
Yeah, those are four hack poll questions. Because...
Well, it went into a lot more.
Yeah, I mean, and I just, but the thing is, the other questions they asked, are more interesting to me in the article itself. But yeah, I mean, for me, the most important thing is family, and that's why money is important. It's an important value to me because I want to make sure I make it to support us, to move on and be happy, and go on as teacher.
Well, I think that's the thing. There's always, like, if you sometimes it's digging another layer of why to find the thing that you actually care about. So for you, it's not money. It's money in order to support the thing you care about.
Security. Yeah.
Jane, what would it be for you?
Well, again, I consider being a responsible citizen.
Yeah.
We pay our taxes. We both work. We try to be good people. We try to be good neighbors. You know, we try to be good Americans. But I still retain the right to ask difficult questions.
Yeah, of course.
But there are some who don't want to hear difficult questions.
They don't want to hear the truth.
Which is what we're going to talk about at the end of today.
Ooh.
We found the great Simon Sinek, who also talked about getting to the why. But it kind of will probably bookend this conversation getting at the end of the show. We're going to talk about, can you be truthful without being rude? And I think in the Midwest, we just opt for not doing either. And so we don't tell the truth because we don't want to be rude. But then we just talk about each other.
We got Joe from Appleton on the phone. Thanks for calling, Joe. What do you want to say? We got about a minute and a half.
Sure, everybody. Greg, first of all, McClear is not McClear. It's Son of Clear.
You totally actually made me in the comments. Go on, Joseph, Son of Clear.
All right, here's what I'll say. You know, I'm with Greg. Family is first. I mean, they have any kids. They already have kids, and I'm married. So being a father and a husband, number one in my life, absolutely. But when it comes down to things like religion or spirituality and patriotism, I cannot segregate those from community involvement. They go together hand in hand.
Interesting.
And last thing I just wanted to say about, you know, Greg, I know you said you had some difficulty with the flag out there. I can empathize with that, but there's no way I'm going to let the mad brains take my flag from me. I'm going to wave it just as proudly as I ever had, because I still believe in this country. I believe in, you know, the good in it. I believe in its people. I believe in its future. And just because people are waving around with their faux patriotism, which, yeah, just means agree with what we agree, and you're a patriot, otherwise you're a communist or what have you. Nonsense. I'm not going to buy into that. I'm going to continue to wave my flag, so yada, yada, yada.
Thanks for the call, Joe. I love when you contribute.
You start calling him Uncle Joe of the show. The show is Uncle Joe.
All right, well, I think that was productive. Right?
Four out of five.
You had a great Fast and Furious joke in there, so we're happy about that.
That's all I really, you know, honestly, I take it back. My value is comedy.
There you go. So, yeah, that is a value. Yeah. Right. When we come back, we are going to talk to comedian Corey Forrester. Jane came across his very poignant video, so we'll talk about some of the good stuff, but then we're actually going to talk about a lot of his comedy as well.
Yeah.
Because I also value comedy, Greg Bach. Touch hands. All right, this is the episode of Wisconsin. We'll be back in a minute.
A candlelight vigil last night in Nashville to remember the victims in the school shooting.
Come to me now.
Sheryl Crow remembering the three children and three adults murdered in the church school. Nashville's police chief John Drake thanking his officers
who rushed into that school building without hesitation.
Another local church pastor consoling the city.
Although we don't understand why these things happen, we can get through this together.
In field, ABC News. A mobile field hospital has been deployed to hard-hit Rolling Fork, Mississippi after deadly storms and tornadoes devastated the area. The University of Mississippi Medical Center is working with state agencies. Two military Black Hawk helicopters crashed in a training incident in Trigg County, Kentucky. An outpouring of support this morning as Pope Francis remains hospitalized in Rome. This is ABC News.
You know him as the nose tackle for the grand goal.
1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram.
Saturday and Sunday at 1 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
The spring election is Tuesday, April 4th. It's being called one of the most important in the country, with candidates for one state Supreme Court seat on the ballot.
Vote, then tune to your local Civic Media radio station for coverage you won't find anywhere else.
It kicks off at 7 p.m. with a special Ask Us Wisconsin.
And at 8, News Director Terry Bell has results with reporters checking in from around the state.
Election coverage live Tuesday, April 4th, starting at 7 on your local Civic Media radio station, streaming on the Civic Media app.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life. VA Life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you are age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA Life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA Life Insurance.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kids.
Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake?
No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development?
You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America Network of Food Banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
When I had a kid, by everyone where I live, I was told this. When you have a kid, man, you'll get more conservative. I promise you that. Well, on day 9 of being a father, I wake up to the news that just up the road in Nashville, there was a school shooting. With that information and knowing which side of the aisle doesn't give a about it, will not even speak of any type of legislation that would halfway prevent this. Matter of fact, as soon as they hear it, their first thing, right before they do the thoughts and prayers, that second, right before they do the thoughts and prayers, is to mention how important the Second Amendment is. Before thoughts and prayers, before. I'm supposed to look at all that and go, yeah, inside that I want to be on now that I have a child. No. If anything, I'm more far left today than I've ever been.
Parents, do you become more or less conservative since becoming a parent? 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. Because our next guest, who you just heard, on day 10 or 11,
I guess day 11 now. We're doing newborn pictures today, so I think that's day 11. Yeah, that's the only reason I'm wearing a collared shirt, by the way, is because I have to do them right after this. I apologize for dressing up. It's not my style.
Well, you false hope, but you do look nice.
I wore my best sweater, so.
Hey, I have the same one. Tyler's a friend of mine. Oh. Sent it to me a couple weeks ago. Best podcast that there has ever been, and it's not even close.
Thank you. I agree.
What's the inside joke there? Tell
us. It's a podcast called Cocaine and Rhinestones. It's a podcast about Americans, 20th century American country music.
Oh.
And it's one guy, no jokes. He's just reading, and it's brilliant. It's
great.
It's thoughtful, incisive. I love it. But we'll talk about that later.
So, Corey Ryan Forster, comedian, who we just heard on that clip that you posted because of the Nashville shooting this week. And, you know, wish. We had a funny man like you on better terms, but that clip really grabbed Jamie, I know. And I think it is interesting because you make such an interesting point, because I feel like we're all in a similar age range where that was the conversation. Oh, you'll get more conservative as you get older. Once you start having to pay taxes, you'll start voting Republican. And I think for our millennial, like Gen X millennials, certainly Gen Z, but they haven't technically gotten older yet, I don't find that to be the case. For me, I certainly have not become more conservative at all. And so I guess for you, away from just being a parent, how does that play out for you, especially from being in the South?
Well, I think that maybe when that phrase was first uttered, there wasn't as much of a divide between conservatives and liberals. Because, like, I'm not an old person, I guess, but I am old enough to remember the Clinton-Dole debates, and I remember how much different they looked than any debate now. There was mudslinging, but it did seem like two people who respected each other, and were only a little bit, you know, far apart. Cause I mean, really, every Democratic president we've ever had has been a centrist. Mm-hmm. That's the only way they would be elected, and I understand that. But so for me, I think that when they first said, you know, when you get older, you'll be more conservative, I think maybe what they meant is you'll be more careful, or you will think about family first and whatever it is to protect my children. And for some reason, they believe that falls in line with their doctrine, which nowadays it doesn't, in my opinion. Their main complaint with Democrats is that Democrats are annoying, and you're never going to find anyone who agrees with that statement more than your boy, alright? I agree. Mm-hmm. I totally agree. But that's pretty much my only complaint about it. Policy-wise, I'm like, look, I'm sorry. Yeah, they don't get it done. Yeah, it's just a lot of theater. But at least they're saying the thing and attempting to do the thing that I believe is right. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know any other way to say it, but like, if getting more conservative means that I have to go, well, I guess I have to accept that there's going to be school shootings because that's the only way to honor the founding fathers. I just can't do it.
And so, you know, since posting that, and I always commend when comedians make statements like that, you know, because like you have a platform, you have a lot of people who are probably respond and they stick to comedy. But sometimes you just can't, right? Like, there's things that you were clearly very fired up and passionate in that video. And, like, I think what has been the feedback since you posted that as far as has it been mostly people saying, yes, this is it? Or is it in line with who you feel like your audience has become anyways?
If I'm being honest with you, I haven't really checked the comments. Mm-hmm. I stopped doing that a long time ago. Yeah, like, if it's a comedy video that I put out, I do check the comments because I think it's important for me to know what works and what doesn't, how people respond to this. Okay, don't do that anymore. Maybe do more of this or whatever. But when it comes to something like that, I said, what of it approach. Now, my wife and my sister know that I don't check comments anymore, and they know the reason. It's because a lot of times they're death threats, or they just put me in a bad mood. But what they'll do is they'll go read the comments and screenshot a couple of them and send them to me. And like, oh my God, can you believe people were saying this? And I'm like, oh my God, I told you I didn't want to hear it. But I assume it's generally positive because I do have a lot of fans, and they're the ones that respond to those. But yeah, of course, there's stick to comedy. That's probably the favorite of those people. And I've never understood that because it's implying that, like, every plumber that speaks up at a town hall shouldn't have the authority to do that. Like, hey, stick to fixing my sink, buddy. It's like, I am a comedian. That's who I am as a profession, but I'm also a human being with opinions, and I just, you know, again, it's because they don't like my opinion. If they liked my opinion, they would not say stick to comedy.
Exactly.
They're not telling Rob Schneider to stick to comedy. They're not telling Jim Brewer to stick to comedy. They love when he panders to them. It's just that they don't like my opinion, therefore I don't care. I almost said a bad word, and I forgot that we're on actual radio.
I would like to tell everybody that Rob Schneider, please stop doing comedy. Thank you. That's all.
Have you heard the story about when he was opening for Adam Sandler and it was going so bad that he, over the God mic, Sandler goes, "All right, buddy, that's enough."
I know
the person that was opening for Schneider, and they told me that.
The Mark Twain prize that they gave to Sandler was wonderful to watch because it was equal parts giving so much love to Adam Sandler, who I love, but also equal parts just ripping Rob Schneider to shreds. Everyone made fun of him.
He made fun of himself a little bit.
I mean, he knows how to take it, but also, who respects him? Come on now.
What?
All right. So we are talking to Corey Ryan Forrester about his comedy, his video, talking about his reaction to the shooting earlier this week. And we're asking you, did you become more or less conservative since becoming a parent? 844-967-2789. And so, Corey, you know, we live in a pretty purple state. We live in cities that are, I guess, Kenosha's fairly purple. Not the city, the city of, but
city's purple.
Milwaukee's blue. And so, I guess, in living in the South, what is it like to hold the politics that you do have? And, you know, I've visited Atlanta, but I've not spent much time in the South. And so how much do you feel like these conversations can happen versus you just kind of avoid them in your daily life? But I just, you know, you are vocal about your thoughts on this. And so I just didn't think it's interesting as far as how it plays in your home state.
I mean, you know, technically my home state went blue in the election.
That's true.
But we all know that we were purple is what I'm saying too. Like, I don't consider us a blue state, but you can't deny that we did go blue for the election, so I'll call us purple. I think what it is that, like, dude, I know I have so many friends from my hometown who kind of identify as conservatives, but they believe all the same thing that I believe.
Oh,
and I all the boys are like, "Well, you're going to vote for that guy, are you?" And I'll just question them. I'll go, "How do you feel about this, and they're like, "Well, yeah, dude, I'm with you on all that." And I was like, "You're not a conservative." And what it is that it is just easier to pretend to be like, "Where I'm from," if you're not a Christian, if someone asks you where you go to church, you're just, "Oh, that down there," because you don't want to have that conversation.
Yeah.
And frankly, I don't blame a lot of these people. A lot of these people, they got their job, they really needed their job, and they don't need their life to be any more uncomfortable than it already is, working three jobs just to get what used to be one paycheck. And I'm in a position to where I don't have a boss. Well, that's not true. I have about 80 different bosses all year because I'm doing projects for people. But, like, I don't, at the end of the day, I choose what to do. I don't answer to anybody. I don't have to worry about, you know, getting fired for this negative view that I have. But they do. And I'm not saying that I'm not saying that in a perfect world you shouldn't say, "Hey, morals and virtue over everything." But it's just not realistic to someone who's like, "I need this job. Also, I don't want Thanksgiving to be weird. So at the end of the day, I just don't say anything. I just can't get too mad at them." You know what I mean? But I will tell you this, because of what I just said, there are way more non-conservative people here than you would think. It's just that they fall into that bubble. There's not as many open-mouthed liberals around here, but there's plenty of people.
They're kind of like in the closet.
Yeah, I know several people that, like, they'll talk to me about these things, and they won't talk to their family about it. And they're like, don't say anything because, you know, my wife or my husband or whatever. And I'm like, God dang, that is super sad, but I hear you, you know.
Our guest is comedian Corey Ryan Forrester, and our question is, did you, when you became a parent, become more conservative
844-967-2789. Texter from the 608 says, I don't have kids, but I was also told you will get more conservative as you age. Instead, this Gen Xer saw a trickle-down economics fail for decades. Corporations continue to get worse, a failed war in Iraq, Act 10, and the GOP becoming full-on fascist jackwagons. The more I experience, the more liberal and anti-GOP I have become.
That's where I'm at. That's what we were talking about before. And I don't have children, and I was told the exact same thing. And as I get older, I only believe in more policies that push to the left. To me, what I think about it is as community involvement, as we talk about in the other segment. We talk about these policies that are about the community, about helping people. That just makes sense to me. It always has.
And that's what also makes sense to me about actually paying your taxes. Like, I just did my taxes last weekend. I haven't pressed submit on TurboTax yet, but I see the estimate of what I'm going to owe. And yes, that sucks. Yeah. But for me, somehow I've been able to buy into and understand this pays for stuff. This pays for stuff that we all benefit from. And so that is a part of being a citizen. And yet I feel like taxes, because that's once you start paying taxes or once you start making even more money, it's going to come back. And it's like, this is part of being in a society.
Taxes are the price we pay for living in a civilized society. Oliver Wendell Holmes said that. He was a Republican. He was a Supreme Court Justice. Those are his words. They are the price we pay for living in a civilized society.
Yeah, I've had those arguments before, and I've had to tell some of my friends, listen, buddy, and this is no offense to you, but last year I paid more in taxes than you made, and I'm not saying a word. And do I like that? I absolutely don't like that. And my main problem with that, I don't have a problem that there are taxes. You know, some people are like, oh, that's theft, whatever. I want public libraries. I want schools to be better. I want roads to be safer. My problem is that some of my taxes go to things that I don't like. I think that, like, war, you know, and bailing out the banks and all that stuff. Like, I've always said that, like, at the end of the year, they should tell you how much you owe in taxes, and then you get to divvy up where those taxes go. Like, it's all the boxes for everything your taxes do, and you get to decide the dollar amount of your taxes that go to each one. And I think that would also be good in finding out what's really important to people.
Yeah.
But that's not how it works.
No.
Therefore, I'm fine knowing that, hey, at least the schools get some of it. And also, it's not enough of a detriment for me to go, I'll be on the side with the gun lunatics and the people who are trying to strip away everybody's rights. I wish it wasn't the case, but I have to, like, a lot of people are one-party candidates, and that's abortion. Well, I'm a one-party candidate, too, and it's the opposite of everything they say. So they're like, I'm talking about taxes. Dude, they're so annoying, and I think that they're lazy, and I think that they don't really ever get anything done.
They're spineless.
They're lip service. They're completely spineless. I really would love to tell you that I'm an independent, but we all know that an independent is just a liberal that doesn't want to pay taxes or a conservative that wants to smoke weed. That's the only two types of independents.
I always say that. A libertarian is just a Republican on an indie label. That's all they are.
Yes, it's a Republican who wants to have liberal friends and thinks that they're like, no, don't worry, I'm not either one. And realistically, I would love to not align with one of them. It's just that one of them is a certain way that I do not like at all, and the other one is just simply annoying. I'll deal with the annoying people.
All right. Well, when we come back, Corey Ryan first will still be here, and we're going to talk about his comedy and his new special. Stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
day in rural Georgia is pretty much just like, hey, I'm in a field, you're in a field, that guy's got a guitar, we better get married, we're both 15, Jesus is looking. You know what I mean? That's the day. That's the first day.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Medinair. He is Greg Bach. And we are talking to comedian and author Corey Ryan Forrester. You just heard a little bit of his stand-up. And you have a new special out with your well-read comedy group, right?
I do. It's on Amazon Prime. It's called Corey Ryan Forrester, A Long Line of Stupid. And I'm real proud of it.
So what all went into getting that special done?
Well, basically, it was a very kind of crazy process in terms of we had a quick turnaround and not a lot of time to prepare for it, because we just, like, when we shot it like a year and a half ago, it just came out. It was, we got pitched during the pandemic, and we weren't going on the road during the pandemic because, you know, our jobs were illegal. What are you going to do? And so we just get back on the road for the first time, and my manager comes to me and says, hey, Outer Circle Media wants to know if you want to do a special. And I was like, well, yeah, when are we shooting it? And they were like, December. And this was like August or September. And I just straight up said, absolutely not. And I was like, really? And I said, no. I said, because it takes a year, in my opinion, to get the jokes ready. And sometimes even longer than that. But they were like, listen, here's the deal. We're using COVID grant money, and it will end at the end of December. So if you want to do this without paying out of your pocket, that's the deal. That's what you got to do. And my manager's going to hate me for saying this. And then she said, by the way, it only has to be a half hour. And I was like, oh, well, never mind. Okay. That's no problem. I've got to be a half hour. So, but for those 4 or 5 months, we toured a lot. We were, you know, taking notes on ourselves. We were helping each other tag stuff. And, like, we got it ready. Like, it was good. Once we found out we were doing it as a group, they were going to be half hours. It was tight. It was wonderful. It was a lot of new material peppered in with a couple things that I'd been doing over the years but never recorded, which made it easier for me because it's like, oh, I've got this back pocket 12-minute bit, you know. But, no, they turned out great. But that was just where my attitude was. I was like, I'm not good enough to do that. But
isn't that crazy? I feel like for so many creative people, it takes an outside deadline for us to believe in ourselves. I have to get it done, because if I don't get it done, I'm going to embarrass myself. And so I need to not procrastinate.
And we're sort of used to working like that, because when we signed our first book deal with Simon & Schuster, they gave us 6 weeks to write the book. And, you know, that's insane. Like, normal people get a year. And my dad gave me the best advice that anyone's ever given me, and I think about it all the time. He said, son, if they gave you a year, you'd still write it in 6 weeks. And I was like, that's so true. And I think the book turned out better because of it, because I was forced to get it all out.
Yeah.
And, of course, there were rewrites and drafts or whatever, but we were just like, you go time, buddy. You're in a pressure cooker. And I work best like that.
It says a lot about you as a person to say, like, I want to take the time and the care with the joke, because I get that completely. Because we've all run into people who are like, there's 6 months in a comedy. They're like, I have 30 minutes. I'm like, you don't have 30 minutes. You got 4 minutes.
Yeah, not good ones.
No, they're not good at all.
You can stand there for 30 minutes.
30 minutes. Yeah, exactly. And so, I mean, like I said, I've never been more prouder of an individual set that I've ever done. We got to film it in our, basically our home club at Zany's in Nashville. And it was just magical. The whole weekend was magical. The cast and crew were amazing. And it's on Amazon Prime now. I think it's real fun.
I'm looking at it right now. You can literally stream it right now. So I guess for people, we're talking to Corey Ryan Forrester, who's a comedian. And for people who are unfamiliar with Well-Read, your group, and you're with Craig Crowder and Drew Morgan, if they're not familiar with your guys' brand of comedy, how would you describe it?
Well, I mean, first off, I'd like to say this. It's 100% comedy first. Like, I think a lot of people that maybe aren't fans of us or haven't seen us are like, oh, these guys are just going up there and doing rip from the headlines, Bill Maher stuff, and pandering to a liberal crowd. And that's not even a little bit the case. I mean, we do have a different perspective, like, than typical Southerners. And that's how, when we met, I've been doing stand-up, I'm on year 19 now. And I met the guys 12 years ago when they started. And what happened was, we each saw each other's sets, and we realized, oh my God, there's another one like me. And by that, I mean, usually a comedian from the South either leans in and goes full Larry the Cable Guy, or if they want to do smart humor, quote, smart humor, they drop their accent completely. There's plenty of examples of those dudes. And we were like, I want to do both of them. I want to keep my accent, but still say these things. Because, like, I want to be me, and I want to speak. To me, comedy, when you start out, it's always about going against the grain. And there's nothing more against the grain than talking about liberal ideology in Tennessee, which is where I started. And it just turns out that those were also my opinions. So, you know, and that's just how it kind of works. We clicked together. We wrote together for years and years and years. And then Trey blew up the internet with a video, and we literally built a sold-out tour on that. And that was 7 years ago.
Man, Corey,
7 years ago, wow.
Corey, yeah. You have been to Wisconsin before, right?
Oh my God, Comedy on State is one of my favorite clubs. We also do the Pabst Theater in Milwaukee. I love Gold Badgers.
You know? Gold Badgers!
Gold Badgers.
Corey, can we just say that the green room at Comedy on State is one of the most glorious places to sit in?
It's top three green rooms in the country.
Wow.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Number one being Denver Comedy Works, but that's not even fair. actually, I was thinking about their condo. Comedy on State is the best green room there is.
You're wow. Right. All right.
It's a great green room.
And so, do you have a Midwest accent impression?
Well, you know, I sort of just go into this one. I go to Iowa a lot and I know a lot of people are like, well, that's Minnesota, you know, but this is just how my in-laws talk up there in Iowa. They're always talking about, like, hey, you know, we got to go down to Menards, you know, and get it, because that's where you get the good deals. At Menards, that's where you save big money. We'll go get us a couple tenderloin sandwiches and drink us a couple Bush Light, you know, have us a doggone rootin' tootin' frickin' damn good time. You know?
I am offended.
Are you?
I'm offended.
Oh, stop.
I am glad.
As a person who comes from the group of the most lamented accent and has been called stupid there, hold myself able to. I can do an accent and everybody can kiss my butt.
Anytime
anyone's ever doing a dumb guy, it's always a southern accent. Yeah. I saw a TV show where a dude was from Nevada, but his character was stupid, and so he was like, I'll tell you right now, we're going to go down to Lafayette. I was like, they don't talk like that there. You just read dumb in the script, and that's what you did. So, you know what? I don't give a two what you think about my Midwest accent.
All right, Corey, well, you'll have to let us know the next time you're in Wisconsin, and we will definitely be there, whether it's in Milwaukee or Madison or anywhere else. But thank you so much for spending time with us today. It was a delight.
Thank you all for having me. Y'all go to parttimefunnyman.com and subscribe to the newsletter. Love y'all. Bye.
Bye. All right, we're taking a break at the top of the hour news, and we'll be back in just a minute. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
The spring election is Tuesday, April 4th. It's being called one of the most important in the country, with candidates for one state Supreme Court seat on the ballot.
Vote, then tune to your local civic media radio station for coverage you won't find anywhere else.
It kicks off at 7 p.m. with a special As Goes Wisconsin.
At 8, News Director Terry Bell has the results with reporters checking in from around the state.
Election coverage live Tuesday, April 4th, starting at 7 on your local civic media radio station, streaming on the civic media app.
Listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250CD Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News.